Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Talking Sports is back. There it is. Oh, man. Missed you guys for the week. Again, we're ready to once again talk some sports. The month of February is fast and furiously coming to an end, but no more football, unless you count the XFL. But, you know, anyway, we'll talk about that. We got a lot of things to discuss. As always, we got my fellas here. Got Gary checking in from some unknown place, but we'll check in with him in a quick second. Rob will be joining us shortly on the Zoom. And I got my man JQ. So without further ado, let's kick off another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man as Gary's camera's blinking. But it's all good, bro. As long as you're here, we're excited, man. We can't wait to hear about your pickleball tournament and all that fun stuff, too. But without further ado, go around the horn, as they say, and check in with my guy JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain, bro. Hanging out, ready to get back to it with y'all. Got my daughter going back in soccer practice for the spring season today, so looking forward to watching her get back out there and play, man.
Good stuff. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Doing good, fellas. What's going on? I'm down in the Big Easy, Lundi Gras, Mardi Gras tomorrow, and, of course, what comes along with that is good food. You know, a barbecue shrimp po' boy today, soft shell crab po' boy. No asparagus today, gentlemen. And the buttermilk. And the buttermilk drops. Oh, man. The buttermilk drops and the king cake.
Wow. You are just serious, that's running. Why he's not, that's why he's not joining the call. He's about 300 pounds right now. So I just messing up.
I ran this morning and yesterday morning, too. So.
That's good. Hey, what's going on, my guy?
Hey, I'm here with this horrible infrastructure down here, but I'm here ready to go. Licking my wounds from that pickleball tournament. You know, I did all right, you know, but I got to the big boys and, you know, they take this shit seriously. You know, I'm playing with this racket that I bought, you know, from, I don't know, some truck stop or something. And these guys have, you know, these $600 or $700, you know, pickleball rackets. Man, they just handed it to me. And the thing of it is, the first day, there was nobody out there. You know, the second day, there's probably 100 people out there watching it. So I got a hand to me in front of, and I was in my little ragtag little racket and did the best I could. But, you know, they were just, I was outclassed.
Wow.
And then
they pulled off.
And then I went golfing and I shot an 88, which I thought was pretty good for the first time I played this course. And I played with this guy who was 77, and he shot an 82.
Ooh.
Damn.
Yeah. And he was good.
All right. Good stuff. I was going to say, he sounded like a white man jumped you, man. You know, like they kind of got you for that one, man. Like we're going to, for pickleball, man. Like, hey, you know, so they're waiting for you, man. So other than that,
oh, yeah,
I'm happy that you survived, man. Good.
Oh, I was so sore.
Good stuff.
You're
going to
let them know you was sore, all right?
What's that?
You're going to let them know you were sore, right? You can't let them know that.
Oh, no. Oh, hell no. Hell no. But I was. Let you guys know.
Keeping it real. We are ready to get the party started. As they say, checking in with Talking Sports with 12 Man. Once again, throw out the numbers. Always reach out to your boys. Call us at 424-243-9519. I know we missed the Super Bowl talk. I was curious to hear what Nas was going to say because Nas is supposed to call back in. So we'll see if he jumps in. Maybe not on a Monday night, but we'll see. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook.com. If you go to Facebook.com/TalkingSports12Man or 12 Man Sports, you will find us as well. Again, Rob, I always appreciate you posting stuff. Mock draft, all that fun stuff. We do our posts as far as up things that are up and coming, as always. So without further ado, let's jump in. We've got a lot of things to catch up on. We got to talk about what's happening, recapping the All-Star game. So we'll kick it off with you, Rob, and your thoughts on that, and we'll kind of go around the horn if you will, too. So go ahead, my guy.
Well, let's kick it off with Michael Malone's comment and say it's one of the worst basketball games he's ever been a part of. I'm like, wow. I mean, yeah, you know, a lot of these, you know, I guess from a purist standpoint out there, you got to, when you look at all-star games, the baseball all-star game is probably the best out of all of them right now because, you know, basketball, you know, guys don't want to get hurt. Football, guys don't want to get hurt. So when you look at it from an all-star game perspective, the only game that's really still meaning anything is the baseball one. And obviously, it determines who gets home field advantage for the World Series, too. And, you know, the risk of injury is very minimal in a baseball game than it is compared to NBA. And you see early in the game, LeBron James goes out in the game with an injury, you know, trying to get a defensive play. And you want the guys to be competitive. You want them to play defense. But at the same time, you can understand where these guys are coming from. You know, they don't want to get hurt and get a significant injury. And the NBA game is in the middle of the season. And the NFL game is at the end of the season. So, you know, it can really still affect them and where they're going. I mean, you got guys like Tatum with Celtics. Well, he had 55 points, so I guess it didn't matter to him. But but when you look at a lot of these guys in the game, they're competing for a championship. You look at Tatum. You look at Giannis with Milwaukee, the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. You look at Joel Embiid. You got to give Embiid credit. He played hard in that game. Kyrie Irving played hard in that game. But you look at a lot of these guys in this game, I mean, these are guys that are stars of their teams and are competing for a playoff run or a championship run. So you hardly can blame them if they're not giving 110% on their defensive end. You know, these guys don't want to take charges in games that don't mean nothing. And so it's becoming very hard to watch, just like the Pro Bowl is becoming very hard to watch.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he makes a good point there. It was crazy. They don't play really good off defense, but my man, goodness gracious, Jason Tatum, just 35 minutes, bro. Like, you want somebody that wanted to win the MVP, 35 minutes in the All-Star game? Like, he had it working now. He was hot. But 35 minutes, I know his coach was, and coach was there, I believe, coaching the team. So, you know, he knew what was going on with it. But, man, 35 minutes is a lot of minutes. I really enjoyed him and Jaylen Brown going head-to-head a couple of times back and forth down the court. Stuff like that, to me, is what makes it exciting because they, you know, they didn't play the greatest defense on each other. But, you know, they kind of got, after a little bit, like, you know, Jaylen Brown especially, don't sleep on me. I know everybody loves Jason Tatum. But don't sleep on me. So I really enjoyed that piece of it as well. You got to fault LeBron, though, for picking Jokic to be on his team. And I get it. Jokic is the two-time MVP, but he is not the kind of player you want in an all-star game. He's not built for his skill set, right? So I get he was trying to go big with him and Embiid, but he doesn't have the skill set for that kind of game. But I feel him along. It was, you know, it's just a glorified squash out there that they're playing. You know, I'm glad for the Boys and Girls Club, Salt Lake City, for getting those charities, those donations at the end of each quarter. But, you know, to me, the thing that sticks out about that is Jaylen Brown versus Jason Tatum. And what's lost in that is that Donovan Mitchell scored 40 freaking points. Like, he wanted that MVP back in Salt Lake City. You could tell that he wanted it. which Jason Tatum was just cooking, man. And there was not a whole lot you could do about it. When a dude shot a fall like that, you got to feed that monster. And they did, and he just went nuts. So congrats to him for, you know, getting the first ever Kobe Bryant MVP trophy in that game. But, yeah, I feel him. You got to get a better line of showcase and then just, hey, man, I can see a harder game. It's the L.A. Fitness, you know, it's got to be. It's got to be somewhere better than that defensively. It wasn't good defensively at all.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, of course, there's never going to be any defense in these games, but you sure get to see some incredible, you know, offensive shows. You know, these guys are they're such good athletes. It is fun to watch. But it, like I said, it's like the – Pro Bowl. I do prefer the baseball, as you mentioned, Rob, because it still means something. You know, these guys are just out there. It does mean something. It meant something to Tatum. It meant something to Mitchell. It means something to all of those guys, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have the same meaning as it does in baseball when you're determining so much. So, but it was still entertaining, fun to watch. Watch my boy Damian Lillard hit that beyond half-court jump shot. That was nice.
Yeah, great. And he won a three-point contest too, Damian Lillard.
Maybe
he ought to consider something like that, what baseball is doing. Maybe go back to the old-fashioned East versus West, and the winner gets home court advantage in the NBA Finals. And maybe you ought to go back to that and see how that works. But then again, you know, you don't want to reward a team that's won 10 to 15 games less than the team they get home court advantage. So, I mean, that's a tough one.
It's tough, yeah.
I like that. I like the East versus West. But, you know, like you said, essentially because you go back to the history of the game, and that's kind of what I do. I go back whenever you think about that because, you know, back in the era of Jordan, and you just had more, you know, competition, right? These guys were going, you know, head-to-head, you know. So it's like I'm going for the game. It was like – your chance to prove your skill set against all the other All-Stars, you know, all these other, you know, it was just great to see that, you know. So, again, that's kind of where you lose a little bit of the luster, like we talk about, too, because, yeah, we get about, you know, not taking charges and playing defense, but just the history of the game was like before, you just have Kobe coming out, I'm gonna play. You just had, you know, I'm going against Michael Jordan, or I'm going against, you know, Allen Iverson. You know, you kind of had this great, just already built-in rivalry going back with that, too. So that's something that I think is definitely missing from the game, too. So it's just – It's kind of tough, but like you said, you are excited to see a couple matchups and little things like that, too, and you want to see a balanced team, too. But I don't know. It's one of those situations where you're right, Rob. I mean, right now.
But then again, the draft thing is kind of fun, too, though. So I think that is a nice little twist they put on with the drafting that they're putting on it. So that's a tough one. If you look historically, though, when you look at basketball versus baseball, home court advantage in basketball is a lot more. You look at the winning percentage for home court in basketball versus a home field in baseball. It's a big difference. Well, I'm not gonna say it's a big difference, but it's a higher winning percentage for the home team in basketball versus baseball. So that's a tough one, and but I think it could add, you know, an extra competitive juice to the game though.
Good stuff. Love it.
But, you know, this year the Celtics have the best record in the league, I believe, and if the West would have won, and the Celtics got a 10-game better win percentage than the team of the West, and the West get home court advantage, you know, that's
tough to swallow.
Yeah,
that would be.
Good deal. We got Naj joining us in here. Naj, what's going on, sir? You just got in on the very first topic. We're talking about the recapping of the NBA All-Star game, too. So I hope you got a chance to hear all that, my guy.
No, I missed the end of it, but it's all good, man. Shout out to y'all for doing shows whenever the hell y'all want to. No set schedule. I don't know what that is. I'll just be catching up.
I got to text that. I don't know what's going down. Now, we took a week off, and it was kind of crazy business for our schedules, but I'll take Dre from Swap Talking Sports, and I'll give you a heads up because we appreciate you trying to keep track of us too, man. So we were just talking about it. We're going to call in and talk about Super Bowl too.
Well, might as well monkey with you next week, too.
I love it. We were talking about just how Jason Tatum was cooking and just, you know, how baseball is pretty much the only all-star game that kind of has the, you know, just the best competition, if you will, too. So I'm going to have your thoughts on that too, Nige, as well.
Yeah, I guess you could say baseball is the most consistent one because, you know, pretty much you're going to get a certain play style every time. With the NBA, it's similar to the dunk contest, to where every couple of years you're going to get that special one that just rolls right, the competitiveness is right, flow is right, and the difficulty is right, and it's a perfect all-star game, and it's, you know, it's great. And then you have nights like last night where everybody kind of just is rolling and they're putting on the show, nobody's defending, and it's just run and jump. So, you know, right. The NBA, like, that's just what the NBA All-Star game is going to be. It's going to be hit and miss. You're not going to get that perfect All-Star game every year.
Yeah, we were recapping that. Speaking of that, that's a great segue to the next topic. Mac McClung, Suns in the slam dunk. No, look at that. That's what the topic says. I'm reading what the topic says, you know. So,
right, no, he put on the show.
That dude did a 540. Like, I ain't never seen nobody do that before. A 540? He did a 360
right.
And a half turn.
with a windmill? Like, that was nasty. You got to get that dude his credit. He got struck by the iron is hot. I don't know who his agent is, but he better get him all the deals you can get right now because they ain't going to play no minutes until
then. Right.
So he's better go and get that money now, brother.
But yeah. Well, he said he's going to be back to the slam dunk contest next year. That dude did a 540. I mean, come on, man, a 540.
Yeah, they listen.
I mean,
jumping two people. Yeah, jumping two people and smack and hitting it off the backboard and then dunking and did a double pump.
Yeah.
You know, Dominique with the, you know, between the knees. Like, I just want to know one thing, and I know this is going to be, you know, might get me into some trouble. But who in the hell thought that Lisa Leslie and Karl Malone should judge the slam dunk contest? Because they scored so ridiculous. I can't. Lisa Leslie has done one dunk, one handed, coming down the break by herself. She out here judging dudes during the All Star game, couple of the slam dunk contest. For real, like she's the only reason this dude don't have all 50. It's like, come on, Lisa. And I looked it up on Twitter, and
right.
Twitter was having a field day with Lisa Leslie, boy. If you get a chance to go out there and look at it, man, they was letting her have it as they
right.
should have. So that was like, what the hell's wrong with you, lady? That what? Anyway, I digress. I don't want to get myself in front of trouble, but if somebody ain't never really dunked on somebody in a game with a different kind of dunk multiple times, then I don't need them nowhere near being on the judge panel. Give me, you know, Dominique. Give me Michael. I know his ass ain't going to do it. You know, hell, give me Clyde Drexler. Give me somebody. Give me Dr. J. Give me all of them. But don't give me Karl Malone with the hand behind the head, you know, one-hand dunk he did every time. Like, he what does he know about it? And I'll let it go here. Take Karl Malone. Dude, how is Karl Malone still available to be a part of anything? Like, I didn't realize that he had
Utah,
got that chick pregnant
Utah,
when he was in college.
Utah, though.
Bro,
Utah,
he was 20 and she was 13.
The slim pickings,
how was he
man.
Available?
Slim
how was he available to be a spokesperson? I understand this is Salt Lake City.
You got
to go get somebody else, bro.
All-time leading scores, and then you got the other guy, the assist leader, who is also crazy as hell.
Craig.
I don't know if y'all have heard John Stockton's recent work in interviews. John Stockton is apparently always online, and he is YouTubed and memed brained, like his brain is gone. But as far as Carl should be at another NBA event. If we're using the standard that we're using as far as polite society, Karl Malone should not be invited to anything. I don't care how desperate the Utah Jazz were. So this was a terrible, terrible mistake by Adam Silver, and he's getting away with it because people are not coming down on Adam Silver for this. But, yeah, should have been done, man. That dude should not be – he shouldn't be near an NBA logo. They should want nothing to do with it.
One of them.
Agreed.
Oh, God.
Sorry, my bad.
Oh, man, Rob. No, it's funny. The Lisa Leslie thing was cracking me up, you know, JQ, because you're like, come on, Lisa, man. What the hell, man?
And you talking about Lisa. Never forget Dr. J, Clyde, and all them guys, whenever they score, but they ain't giving nobody a 50. You remember how stingy they were with the scores back in the day? And let's not get into Dwayne Wade and his mind bias showing up as a judge.
Hey.
So, I mean, it's tough to get somebody to do it.
But I'm okay if Dr. J and Clyde Drexler are going to be tough on you because those guys are legend when it comes to dunking. So I'm okay if they can be tough on you. But I agree with JQ on this one. Lisa Leslie, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not
Carmelo, too.
Yeah.
Carmelo was like dropping 44s on people. I was like, Carmelo, you could never do that dunk. In your heyday, whatever. Whenever you thought she was your best, you couldn't do none of that. How are you out there giving these dudes a 44? Come on. Come on, bro. One dunk. Stand behind the head.
Carl Malone has the same dunk that Lisa Leslie does. The same dunk.
Yes.
That's all it is. That little one hand.
Right.
That's all it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen, they made some
the
interesting decisions. Right. They made some interesting decisions, period, because I don't know who booked that halftime show. I was sitting there watching it like they know they're in Salt Lake City, right? I was like, I don't even know these black people. Like they would have got some fearless black people out there to do the halftime show. I was sitting there like, man, these white people were sitting there paying that money for this. There's got to be sitting there like, what in the entire hell is going on right now in Salt Lake City?
We need a minute to that committee hearing. We need a minute to that committee where they was picking the talent and decide what was good. Because, you know they crossed a lot of people off that list. And then the other part, here's the tough part, especially with the judges. This is still Utah, bro. Everybody, unless you're giving them some kind of award or some kind of legacy thing, I bet you there's a whole lot of NBA people who's like, nah, I'm good, bro. I'm skipping this All-Star game. I'll see y'all in Indy next year. Tell nobody we're going to go to Utah.
Yeah, right. Let's get like to see.
Well, who for what?
I don't know why y'all talking shade upon my statement. No, I've got family in Utah. Honestly, my mom's there. My sister's there. I got a lot of family in Utah. So don't talk too much ish about Utah. I'm just saying. But it is a unique place.
They need to get on Red Fan and get a new house.
Man.
Salt
Lake City is a
beautiful
city.
Because they know the element won't be there. The element
they're moving the Essence Festival there this summer.
I will tell you a story, man. My sister, she's out there, and you know she married the other. I love Shay. That's my brother and everything like that. But I remember the first time I went there. This man, it had to be like almost 30 years ago. First time I went there, whatever. And I was like, hey Shay, he's picking me up at the airport, and I'm like, Shay, how you gonna know it's me? He's like, don't worry, I'll know that it's you. So basically, I'm going down. I'm the only one there, right? But I've never been in a town where everyone is white. Like, folks show McDonald's like white. I'm like, what? It's like I've never seen anyone black. Like, everybody is white. Like, everyone working at restaurants are like, it definitely is a culture shock if you haven't been there. But I'm sure it's evolved.
But they have a huge Samoan population now, too.
And like I said, I know I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of serious, too. But it's like, Salt Lake is pretty unique. Utah's pretty unique in its own right. I've DJed some weddings out there. It's just one of those situations where you have to just experience certain things, you know. So, but I kid, but there's some.
I'm guessing.
Yeah,
a lot
I was watching
cool
that. You got some problems. You got some problems, guys. I can't talk to you right now, but no. It was an interesting experience, for the less, man. So, but anyway, if we can, what are your thoughts on that, Gary? I don't want to leave you out, bro.
I don't know. You know, I've spent a lot of time here this last couple of months. We spent a lot of time in Utah, but not really in the cities, more at the national parks and stuff like that. But yeah, the winner of that pickleball tournament got an extra wife, so. I'm glad I didn't.
Shut up, Gary.
I didn't win that one,
Utah.
After all.
Utah is nice. Park City is nice. There's a couple spots. You can't go to the Mormon Temple unless you're Mormon, obviously, but there's some interesting places to kind of
Park City
interact.
Is beautiful.
But,
it's beautiful
yeah.
there. I'm not going to lie. Park City
yeah.
and Salt Lake is
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
I have it.
Yeah.
Park.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the next topic, if you will, unless you guys, you know, we're just kind of going down the line here. Kevin Love and Cody Zeller are now official to the Miami Heat. So go ahead, Rob, with your thoughts on that one, man.
You know, this one's going to be interesting. I mean, Miami, they've been playing a lot better here in the last month or so. and moving their way up in the Eastern standings here. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how much Kevin Love could bring to the table, right? You know, he can still spot it up and shoot the shots from the outside there. You know, we'll see. Obviously, Bam Adebayo is their starting center. I don't think Kevin Love is going to be a starter on their team. Maybe he's a guy that can come off the bench and still give them some minutes and some points there. Like I say, he can still shoot it. So it'll be interesting there. You know, Cleveland just got some athletic bigs, man. When he wasn't getting on the floor as much, when you look at Evan Mobley, you look at Jared Allen with the fro. I mean, they got some real athletic bigs there. Jared Allen with that fro, I think that must give him about four or five more inches. They should lynch him at about 6'5" now, right?
5'7" with the fro.
Yeah, but you look at Miami, I'm not sure if anybody's got the Eastern Conference standings up. But, I mean, they've been playing a lot better in the last month or so. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Kevin Love can do. Cody Zeller gives them another big. Now, Cody Zeller can actually give them some minutes, and he actually still can give them some minutes on the defensive end of the floor. You know, he's a seven-footer. He still blocks shots and things of that nature. So he's going to give them another defensive presence. Kevin Love can't guard any one of us on this show. So you're really just going to need him to, you know, hit some outside shots and things of that nature, see if he can give them another offensive weapon. But if you look at it, if you got Kevin Love and you got Tyler Hero on the floor at the same time, and you got Bam Adebayo, I mean, they can spread the ball. They can spread the ball around, and they got some shooters out there. So I mean, that could be scary for a second unit, right? So it's going to be real interesting. Do I think it's going to put them in league with Boston and Milwaukee? I don't think so.
Yeah, I just pulled it up when you were talking about it. They are right on that cut line, right? So they're on the seventh seed, half a game behind the Knicks, and 2.5 behind the Nets. But you got to figure that the Nets might drop a little bit, given, you know, the departure of the Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, this is just about some warm bodies, right? You know, they might have to do that. They might need to foul Giannis, if we're being honest, and then and get spell out of bio a little bit. But to me, this is more about some depth and a little bit of shooting with Kevin Love. You know, you take a flyer, it doesn't cost you a whole bunch of money. He's already got his buyout from Cleveland, so you get him probably for close to the minimum around there. And the same with Cody. So, you know, this is some warm bodies for some depth. It'd just be interesting to see that if they make the playoffs, you know, when you start to shorten that rotation, do you even get the benefit of those guys playing too many minutes in a 5-7 game series, right? Unless something really bad has happened, you know. Because most coaches are going to take that rotation down to about 8 or 9 guys. And I'm not quite sure if both those guys make the 8 or 9-man rotation for that team come playoff time. But over the last 25 games, you know, when you need to get some people a blow, spell some people, especially when, you know, these guys don't like to play back-to-back for some, you know, 3 games or 4 nights where you can send an Adebayo or somebody else down and start a Kevin Love or Cody Zeller. So to me, this is more about depth and probably just potentially some fouls, to be honest with you. But I don't necessarily think it moves the needle so much for Miami. I think they have the benefit of Brooklyn's going to probably come back to the pack a little bit, and they can maybe get above that cut line and not be in the play-in.
Yeah, I could see them moving up to the 5 spot in the East. They're number 7. I could see them, like you mentioned, I could see them passing the Nets and the Knicks, actually, and moving up to the 5 spot. But the top 4 in the East, I think, is solidified. We look at Boston and what they bring to the table, the Bucks.
Yep.
The Sixers have been playing really well. The Sixers actually have a deeper bench this year. I mean, Milwaukee's won 10 in a row now, but 10, no, I think 12 in a row, actually. That's
12.
Milwaukee's run. So I think Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, and Cleveland, they're the top 4 teams in the Eastern Conference. You look at Cleveland, that backcourt that they have, and then the front court that they have. And so, I mean, they got a lot of size, and that's, their bigs are athletic, too. As I mentioned earlier, with Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. And then they got one of the best backcourts in the league, too, as well. So I think they are – I think the only thing that's preventing Cleveland from moving up even further is their youth. But I think they are a legitimate top 4 team in the Eastern Conference.
When I think of Kevin Love, I just think of Kevin Love's parents, and they just hate my guts. Both of his parents do.
Come on, Gary.
I had season tickets for many years, and section 108, and It was when LaMarcus was playing for us and Kevin Love was playing for Minnesota. I didn't know this whole time. I didn't know the people sitting next to me, but it was Kevin Love's parents. And they're playing
oh
Minnesota.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and I am going off on him. I'm standing up. I'm trash talking him. I'm telling him LaMarcus had just hit a three and backed him down and scored, stole the ball from him. And, I mean, I'm just like, you own that white boy. You own him.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just, I'm going off. And Arnetta says, and then Arnetta says, nudges me. And I looked over there and, both of his parents were like, had their hands, you know, their heads down. And his mom said, oh, gosh, Kevin, not again. You know, and I'm just like, oh, Sean, that's his parents. And I'm sitting, you know, not far from me, you know, right next to us.
Yeah,
so I calmed down after
area,
that.
Right?
Yeah,
from the
yeah,
area,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That white boy
can't
go. This is where they take people's tickets from, right there.
No
come
shit,
on, Kevin. What are you doing? What are you doing, Kevin?
Hey,
stop it right now.
Hey man, but,
oh, man,
but as far as that Miami thing, hey man, the show's over, baby. You had that finals run. This group is finished essentially. Kyle Lowry is having serious issues physically. His body is breaking down. He looks somewhat washed. They played him crazy minutes to start the season. Now they're trying to manage him for the rest of the season. They couldn't find a taker for him at the trade deadline. So you bring in Kevin Love and Cody Zeller. What are you going to score, 84 points instead of 83? Like, this is like the Heat culture stuff is still there, but they just made some big mistakes in putting this team together so quickly. So the Duncan Robinson mistake, which comes up because you replace him essentially with Max Strus, but you're still on the hook for all that money. I don't know how you actually improve this team and still contend. Like the Jimmy Bam era, it looks like it's going to go out with a whimper because look, they got the lowest point differential for any playoff team in NBA history. It's 0.003 point differential. So even when they win most of the night, like the stretch where they've been playing better, it's been like 86 to 85. Or in the fourth quarter, they get a couple turnovers, hit some free throws, and pull off the win. Like they're just barely squeaking by. Like this is a team who is going to be had when the playoffs start. Like this is not a great team. It's a desperate team. Shout out to the Godfather, Pat Riley. But, yeah, man.
Yeah,
he was trying to start.
It's old school Alonzo Mourning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
they need
trying
to get some names
no
like
about it. They need another star in order for them to contend for a championship. Jimmy Butler, they need another star on that team if they were going to contend for a championship. I mean, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, solid players, but they need another superstar if they don't have a shot at winning the championship.
Yeah,
and Butler's
that
game
Victor,
dropped
oh,
off.
Yeah, they thought Victor was going to do something, you know, obviously they figured they'd try to get something with him. And, you know, he had a nice little resurgence, but then he's kind of back, like you said. So they just haven't been able to make the right move either. So it's just been interesting to see what's going on with him. And then he nailed it, Naj, as far as Kyle Lowry. He's like, his knee's been messing up. And, you know, they're like, what the hell? You know, this is not the same point guard we thought. And you thought that's all you needed was having him, you know, because that was the Kyle from Toronto was the dude, right? It just hasn't been the same player in Miami.
Yeah. One thing he did have going for him.
Shout out to Masai in Toronto, man. If he makes a trade with you, hang up the phone. Whatever he's sending you, he's good.
For real, right?
It's true.
That line is over, man. No more. You try to give me some damage good. What are you about to say, Rob?
Yeah. No, I was going to say the one thing that he does have going for him, Eric Spoelstra keeps them in a lot of games. He's still one of the best coaches in the league. And so I'll give them that, but they're definitely lacking a superstar in order for them to get over the hump. But that I think that top four teams in the East is solidifying. And, they're on the outside looking in, even with Love and Zeller.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I do want to talk about this, and I'm not going to try to pick on you, JQ, but I know you're happy about your boy Russell Westbrook being gone off the Lakers. But he's still in L.A. He's going to the Clippers, as we probably saw coming around the wire. But it's interesting to see that too, man. And I know we can kind of tag into that what's happening with LeBron and his wrist too, man. So you kind of got that next topic, my guy. So go ahead.
Listen, I still love what Rob Pelinka did at the trade deadline. That don't worry me because he's going to score some points, but he's going to throw the damn pass into the third row. And Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to be so mad at him. He's going to come down and break it and hit the underside of the backboard. You can have Russell Westbrook. If you feel like putting him in, he's probably maybe going to start. For now, good luck is all I'm going to say. You know, he didn't want to leave L.A. He's from L.A. He didn't want to leave. You know, the Clippers still have Kawhi. They still got Paul George. They still have a deep athletic team. But that don't necessarily scare me. The Lakers have their own problems starting with LeBron's wrist and his ankle to deal with. I don't know what's really wrong with his ankle because don't look like shit's wrong with it to me when he's just coming down the lane dunking on people. But, you know, he'll be all right. I think he'll need a little rest. They get a couple more days before they play again, I think Thursday against Golden State. So, you know, they've got their work cut out for him. What they have to have is all those guys they picked up, you know, come in and play ball, and the person they went to be the heir apparent in Anthony Davis has got to step up and be that dude. You want to get mad and say we're losing the teams we shouldn't lose to? Okay, go out there and do something about it, bro. There was a time that we thought you were a top five player in this league, but you keep getting hurt and you don't listen to call, man. When people call you street clothes, like, you should take that shit personally. And you got an opportunity to come out there and put your stamp on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like staying. Like, you need to go out there and be thinking that when you're out there and just dominate people. He's got the ability. We've seen him do it. So I think that's really where it stops and starts at. You know, you got to get LeBron healthy, but you need AD to be bubble AD, where he was just out there and was a force. He got a little complacent. I think we all believe that. He got his money. He got a ring. And he stopped being aggressive. He's got to get back to it. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm not worried about Russell Westbrook, bro. They got so many crazy personalities in that Clippers locker room. They got crazy talent. They got some crazy mofos in that locker room. They might self-combust. When LeBron said, hey, we need to go out there and play hard and win, and Russ interrupted him and said, yeah, but I need y'all just to have fun. And LeBron looked at him, and I said, yeah, Russ is done. He's done in L.A., bro. We got to do more than just have fun. We got to win some ball games. So if he takes that foolishness across into the other locker room, y'all have at it.
Oh, yeah, he'll cause that team to implode even worse than they're going to anyway. You know, with Russell Westbrook, he's that guy. He's that guy that's that locker room distraction. He'll be fine at first. He'll probably do okay. Something's not going to set quite right with him. And then he's going to do his Russell Westbrook thing. He's going to throw up the bricks and, you know.
Turn them all over.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, man, there's something here, though, because this signing makes me think they're not 100% sure about Kawhi's knee. They're worried that Kawhi may not be available for some playoff games or down the stretch. And that's why they were willing to do this. Like you guys said, all of the negatives are there. Russ doesn't run the offense well, turns the ball over, not a good shooter. So how is he helping you more than Terrence Mann or Bones Highland, who I think are better fits for what they actually want to do? So the fact that Ty Lue signed up for this along with Ballmer, that makes me think that there's something going on with Kawhi. This may be worse than what we thought as far as, if they just manage him throughout the season, Kawhi will be fine for the playoffs. I feel like in that building, they don't think that. Because why else would you bring in Russ at this point? Because you already covered for that deficiency. You got Reggie Jackson out of there. Bones Highland and Terrence Mann were supposed to run the point. Now you're doing this. So, I got questions, man. This is a really talented team. They brought in Mason Plumlee as the backup center to Zubac. Like, they're really talented, but if Kawhi is not Kawhi, then they're not a contender. And if you're bringing in Russ, what are you telling me?
And you would have got Aaron Gordon from Houston, who's quietly could be a microwave off the bench. Like, they've got they got pieces.
Yep.
Right. So, I agree.
Yeah, that was a sneaky move there, getting Gordon. I think he could, on that team, as you mentioned, a 6 or 7 man coming off the bench and hit, getting buckets. That's the perfect role for him right now at this stage of his career, as opposed to being a starting five guy. So, that definitely gives them another score off the bench. And And maybe that's what they do with Westbrook, too. Maybe bring him in there, the second unit with Eric Gordon, and see what you got there as far as, you know, getting buckets. So it's going to be interesting. But, you know, Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving, for whatever reason, their talent is there. Now, Kyrie Irving's a heck of a ball player, but it's just upstairs. You just wonder what you're getting from upstairs. And the same with Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
If he balls, how
well, with Russell, with Westbrook, if he's guarding someone that's starts hitting a couple of jump shots, he forgets that he's got still got enough talent to get around defenders and go to the rack. He completely forgets that, and that's all he wants to do is jump, you know, shoot jump shots because the guy that he's guarding is hitting the field.
Mm-hmm.
If he gives, if they can somehow convince him, go to the damn rack, dish the ball off. If they could convince him to do that, no one's been able to yet. But if they could, you know, he could be effective. He won't be.
Yeah, but see, okay. So when the Clippers played the Lakers earlier in the season, Zubac guarded Westbrook in the first half. This was before Westbrook was moved to the bench. And that was Ty Lue letting you know that he sees the limitations of Westbrook. So it's weird to me that you would sign off on this knowing that when he comes out there, that's what he's going to see. Either he plays the baseline or the dunker spot and people just don't guard him. Because that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to load up on Kawhi and Paul George. So, I don't get this move, man. The move they made at the trade deadline were perfect. And they come in with this. Like I said, I'm still on the Kawhi maybe too injured to carry a full load. That's the only way this makes sense. But, again, your coach knew this guy couldn't shoot and put Zubac on him. So what the hell you think everybody else is going to do? So,
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. And look, let me say this. Shout out to Russell Westbrook.
Uh-oh.
He's an all-time great, one of the best to ever do it. But he was extremely dependent on his reflexes, athleticism, and everything else. And when he had to figure the game out without those things being as substantial, we see what we see now. You know, it's a sad story. But damn, Russ, like, man, can you figure out a way to get along with people? Norm Powell's averaging 17 points a game off the bench. He don't want to play with you on the second team. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be a lot where this is going to get funky, man. And I hate to see Russ go out like this, man, but this is what – yeah, I mean, what can you say?
You know what's not being reported here? What's not being reported here on this Russell Westbrook Clippers deal is that Russ wanted to play so bad with Los Angeles. The contract actually is Russ paying the Clippers. It's not Clippers paying Russ.
Shut up.
So he's on the team. He's actually paying the team.
No, Rob.
And that's the only reason they took it.
So they got it for free, so they're like, okay, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll get him out of here.
Team chemistry, you can't measure it in money, but team chemistry costs. So that means you got it for free if it comes in as a negative value to the team chemistry and messes it up.
Yeah, but you got a really delicate team chemistry there because we're 3 years removed from pandemic P to where Paul George has kind of built his reputation and confidence back up. If things go bad in the first round, they drop a game or two. You telling me that team is going to rally with Russ coming in there running the second year? I don't like the signing. And I'm not saying that I don't want Russ to be on the NBA team. I think he can still be an NBA player. But I just didn't like the signing for them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, valid point.
I was going to say, next week I want to talk about this, but, you know, this is kind of – I'm kind of torn because maybe it's the month of love, man. I don't know. And I want to say we really should have given LeBron James a little bit more love about what he accomplished, man. And and I'm talking about him breaking Kareem's record. And I know we were at Super Bowl, everything was that. But just – there's an article that was written by Michael Cunningham from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and he wrote a great article about LeBron. And I'll touch on it next week because he kind of talked about the highlights about what he did, and it's really kind of astounding what he's able to accomplish too. And we're talking about that. You mentioned it, Naj, whenever you see the decline of Russell Westbrook, and you look at a 38-year-old LeBron James doing what he's doing is just phenomenal. We'll talk about his stats next week and kind of things like that, too, but I knew we wanted to get to other topics. But I just wanted to kind of do a little preemptive shot because I was hitting me in a different light. Yeah, but put me in a different light as far as the respect for LeBron, too, because we know he's one of the GOATs, obviously. But I'm just saying, HGH, you got me. You cracked me up, man. But anyway, we'll talk about that, man.
Stupid.
I don't know. We've got about 15 minutes. I do want to definitely touch base on your NFL four-round mock that you put up. I don't know if you talked about that. And then I know we've got some other things that we can kind of sprinkle throughout the show. But if you want to talk about that, and possibly some fantasy shoutouts, we can more certainly do that. But I definitely wanted to give you some time to talk about.
Anthony.
That's right. That's right. But, and once again, Rob posted that to the Talking Sports with the 12th man page. So you had a four-round mock up there, too. So, Rob, the floor is yours, my guy.
Yeah. First four-round mock draft of the year. First of many more, of course. And, but yeah, we got the four-round mock draft on the Talking Sports Facebook page. I'll just go over some of the key names in each round, and then, you know, we can specifically talk about our teams on this one, too. So, obviously, in the first round, still got Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia, at the number one pick of the draft. If Chicago stays in that spot, I really think it's going to be Jalen Carter or Will Anderson. I got Will Anderson going number three to Arizona in the current draft. C.J. Stroud, I got him going number two to Houston. And Bryce Young, got him going number four to Indianapolis. Tyree Wilson, probably the best edge rusher in this draft. Tremendous athlete out of Texas Tech. Have him going number five to Seattle. Christian Gonzalez, cornerback from Oregon. I have him going number six to Detroit. Will Levis, quarterback, Kentucky to Las Vegas. And the Falcons got him going. Brian Breesy, defensive tackle from Clemson at number eight. Carolina, Drew Sanders, the guy that's climbing off draft boards, linebacker from Arkansas. In Philadelphia, Miles Sanders may be a free agent. They got him taking Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas.
Wow.
At the number 10 spot. Man, what will he do to that offense? Will be electric. I'm going to skip around here a little bit. Got Anthony Richardson, quarterback from Florida, going to Tennessee at 11. Miles Murphy, defensive end Clemson to Houston. Isaiah Foskey, defensive end Notre Dame to the Jets. Quentin Johnson, wide receiver, TCU to Green Bay. Green Bay finally drafts a receiver in the first round, probably after they trade Aaron Rodgers. Go figure. Paris Johnson, offensive tackle, Ohio State, 16. Jackson Smith, Jigba to Pittsburgh at 17.
See, you just do shit like that to mess with me. That's why. That's it.
He's laughing as he's writing that. He's laughing as he's doing that too. He's like, I'm gonna get JT.
Oh man. Joey Porter Jr., cornerback, Penn State to Seattle. Kayshon Boutte, wide receiver, LSU to 24 to Jacksonville. The Cowboys, Lucas Van Ness, edge rusher from Iowa. Guy's very versatile, play the run in pass rush. We got the Bengals taking Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame. And of course, my beloved Saints, B.J. Ojulari, edge rusher from LSU, at the number 29 spot. I'll move on to the second round here. Keon White, edge rusher, Georgia Tech. Andre, got him going to Houston, number 34.
I like that.
Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver, Tennessee. Got him going to Arizona at number 35. At 35, Keely Ringel, cornerback, Georgia. Got him going to Seattle. Got the Saints taking Deontay Banks, 6'2", cornerback from Maryland, at number 41. Derek Hall, edge rusher, Auburn, number 43. Kalijah Kansi, defensive tackle from Pittsburgh. This is a guy to watch here. He's another one that's on the rise. Got him going to Tennessee at number 42 here. Clark Phillips, the third cornerback, Utah, Andre's favorite state, going to the Falcons. number 45.
This guy. I didn't say that.
Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama, got him going to Tampa Bay at 51. Siaki Ika, defensive tackle, Baylor, got him going to Miami at 52. Darnell Washington, tight end, Georgia. Got him going to the Chargers at 55. I got the Cowboys going with another Iowa player, Jack Campbell, linebacker from Iowa. Cincinnati. Check this out, JQ. Quan Martin, cornerback from Illinois, on the Cincinnati.
Take Quan. Let's go, baby.
And,
you knew you were like that.
another versatile player. He can actually play corner and safety, so he can, you know, pretty much wherever the Bengals need. Obviously, need to replace Eli Apple, and you got a question mark at safety on whether or not you're going to be able to re-sign your star safety back there, too. So we'll see what happens there. So, number 64, Noel Sewell, linebacker from Oregon to close out. Hendon Hooker, this may be a controversial pick, but I got him going to Chicago at number 65 in the third round.
Wow.
Right now. Obviously, the backup, Justin Fields, a similar kind of player. Josh Downs, wide receiver, North Carolina, going to Houston at 66. Another quarterback to watch, Tanner McKee, quarterback from Stanford. Got him going in the third round at 68 to Denver. He's got a rifle for an arm. He's only got 1 year starting, though. That's the only question mark there. Jordan Battle, safety, Alabama. Got him going to the Saints. Zach Charbonnet, another running back to watch from UCLA. Got him going to the Jets at 75. And they got the Falcons taking Cedric Tillman, wide receiver from Tennessee. You remember 2 years ago, he was their star
like
receiver
that.
Prior to getting hurt. Jalen Hyatt was their star receiver last year. So he's a guy that really could be a sleeper in this draft, too. Eli Ricks, cornerback in Alabama, got him going to 80 to the Colts. And let's see, the Cowboys got him going Jonathan Mingo, speedy receiver from Ole Miss. Obviously, the only wide receiver who caught a pass on the team last year for Dallas was C.D. Lamb. No other wide receiver caught a single pass last year for the Cowboys. So you're going to need a wide receiver, right? And so you got Jonathan Mingo there in the third round. Brandon Joseph, safety, Notre Dame to Cincinnati in the third round. And last but not least, the fourth round, Tajay Spears, running back, Tulane. Tulane put on the show, beat USC in the Cotton Bowl, one of the most underrated running backs in the draft. Got him going in the fourth round here, 104 to Chicago. And then skipping around here, Ali Gase, defensive end from LSU to Seattle. Jared Bernard Converse, cornerback from LSU to Baltimore, could be a sleeper as well. Got the Cowboys taking Keith Smith, safety from West Virginia, and the Bengals got him taking Dontavian Wicks, wide receiver from Virginia, in the fourth round. Remember, the Falcons got two fourth-round picks. They got him taking Joe Tippmann, offensive guard from Wisconsin, and Rashawn Johnson, running back from Texas. And that rounds
Rashawn.
Out the You can see the rest.
I tell you what, if the Bengals don't draft with two offensive linemen, it's going to be a full-blown ride in Cincinnati with the fans. Like, I hear what you're saying, but if they don't get at least two offensive linemen in these first four rounds, it's going to be a whole problem with the fans. That means that they're going to have to go spend some money in free agency, but I don't think they have the ability to do that because not only with Jesse Bates, you also got Von Bell, who's a free agent as well. So I guess trying to address the secondary, but, man, listen, they got to protect Joe Burrow. If you're going to give me $50 million a year, they got to go get some more offensive linemen. And I see that you got Pittsburgh taking – two Ohio State players in the first and second round. You do that to mess with me. I see what you're doing, but you do that to mess with me.
Yeah, that's just where it falls sometimes, man.
Yeah, that's where it falls my ass.
Wait, DeJuan Jones about to tackle Ohio State in the second round in Pittsburgh.
I saw that.
Man, that would be a – man, Lord have mercy. JQ will lose his shit.
I would be so mad.
It's like, Cincinnati, come on, man. You better keep him right in the house, man. What y'all thinking, man? Oh, man.
I would be so mad.
I don't know about Breesy. I'm not sure what the Falcons are going to do, man, especially for free agency. But we're going to see what happens with that, man, because I'd love to get Sika in the second round. It's a little too high. I'd hate it if Tyrese Wilson didn't drop to the Falcons, but he does look like a Seattle guy, man. So that's tough, man. So either get the best, you know, tackle, the best you know, wide out. I mean, I hate to say that, man, but you got to get the best number eight at that juncture. But it does depend on what happens in a free agency. I'm curious about Anthony Richardson. Yeah. I don't know why you get a project for Tennessee again. You got a project already with Malik. Well, I don't even know what the hell that's happening. So that's interesting. I don't think I can get another one. I do wonder what movement's going to happen with that number one pick with Chicago, because they're just basically taking all kinds of smoke and everyone's lying right now because there's rumors of them thinking about trading Justin Fields. You know, it's some bull crap. You know what's happening, man. It's always during this time of the year that things are going down, man. We know that. I'm just saying you hear all these crazy rumors and stuff like that too, but it's like a situation where it's like, man, we can just keep messing around and kind of messing with you guys' heads and stuff like that. But good stuff as always, Rob. Thank you for taking the time. I don't know if you have anything else to say. Anything to say on that, Gary? Your thoughts on the mock draft stuff or what?
No, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. But every week there's a little bit different. That's good. Appreciate your hard work there, Rob.
100%.
Yeah, you mentioned Seattle and that Tyree Wilson, that number five there. I think Seattle is definitely locked in on Geno Smith. And so I don't have them taking a quarterback there. They seem to be locked in and want to give them a contract extension. Seattle's got two first-round picks here. And they really need to improve that defense. And right now, if you look at the first round, they've got to take a Tyree Wilson. They're coming back with George Porter Jr., number 20. Those two guys can probably start day one for that team. Now, Tyree Wilson is a heck of an athlete. Now, he's still a little bit raw, so he's going to take some coaching a little bit.
Right.
But on the surface, it looks like, man, he could be a heck of a edge rusher with the right coaching staff.
Nah, did you need to add that, bro?
No, I'm in agreement with most of the things I heard. Shout out to Chicago for beating the bushes and trying to create as many rumors as they can when they go, no, good and damn well, there's no way for them to try to create leverage for anybody else to move up in the draft. They're trying their best. But like he said, I think they end up drafting a pass rusher and keeping it moving. But, yeah, this is going to be an interesting draft. And, again, y'all know me. I'm going to keep beating the drum. Anthony Richardson has everything. You just got to coach him up. Overdrive.
Oh, man, don't start that.
He's got the tools. He's right. You know, he's somewhat of a project, again. But if you're Tennessee or any other organization, until you get it right, you got to take a chance on one of these guys. I mean, shucks, if he's available at 29 for the Saints, if I'm the Saints, I'm taking him. I mean, you got to at least give a shot at it, right? You know, he's going to bring some diversity. You look at Jalen Hurts, right? This is a guy that has improved tremendously. If you look at his junior year to Alabama to where he is now and how much he's progressed, I mean, you can really look at how much he's progressed from last year to this year. Last year, dude couldn't complete a pass more than 20 yards. His accuracy beyond 20 yards was awful. And you look at how much he's gained. Now, his dad is a coach. You know, he got locked in with the Eagles head coach and staff coordinator, and he's improved tremendously. Anthony Richardson is a better athlete and has a stronger arm than Jalen Hurts. Now, can somebody get him to reach that potential? You know, we'll have to see.
Yeah. JQ trying to spread rumors. Yeah. Cowboys interested in TJ Stroud. Look at you, JQ. What you doing, bro?
I'm just saying. I didn't write the damn story.
Man, why you gotta do that to Gary, man?
Come on,
man.
Well, ladies and
gentlemen.
What night are you rolling next week, gentlemen?
For now, I just say, let's go back to Tuesday.
So I'm not available on Tuesday. Anybody? Can we do Monday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, Monday or Wednesday is fine.
Wednesday?
All right, Wednesday it is. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all heard it here. Y'all heard our behind-the-scenes discussion live on the air. We're going to be on Wednesday night next week. Wednesday night.
No, it's
going
to be on Wednesday.
That's for time, too.
I don't believe it. Right. I'm going to log on here Wednesday. There ain't going to be nothing but Patriot shows about sovereignty. and Taking Back America. It's going to be all over Blog Talk, but I ain't going to find y'all.
Oh, shit. No, we don't want that. We don't want that, bro.
Oh, hell no.
He said Patriot shows about sovereignty. Oh, damn. Oh, man.
That's pretty good.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're on Wednesday. We're on Wednesday. Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure sharing this little battle with you. Again, please have a great week. Please, Gary, be safe, bro. I hope that you're okay out there. Your pickleball days, maybe next year, and then your next tournament, you'll be ready to go. You'll get some exact some revenge on them. So, you know, it's all good.
Those guys are way out of my league. I won't have a shot with those guys. But next week, Rob, I do want to talk about these football conferences that we had on this week. I want to definitely next week put those on the topic,
yeah.
If you would.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is trying to survive. They're actually trying to recruit San Diego State and SMU and possibly Gonzaga as a basketball team member only. So they're trying to survive, but also the Big 12 is going after Gonzaga, too, as a basketball member only. And
yeah, and
that's
where they'll go. That's where they'll go.
Yeah.
They'll go to the Big 12.
Yeah.
But let's dive into this next week. I've got a lot to talk about on that. And what will be left of the pack, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Pack.
Yeah.
There is still a pack.
Yeah.
Is there a pack? Is there a pack? Right. What's the real? We don't know. Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, I figured it'd be good because, you know, we want to get everyone off, and it's been kind of a long week, too, so we'll make sure everyone's getting some good time in and getting to work and everything like that, too. So save that topic.
But I'll tell you what.
Look forward to next week. Good, Rob.
I'll tell you what, in college basketball, UCLA and Arizona, man, they probably only going to have three teams make the NCAA tournament out of the Pac-12, but UCLA and Arizona. Man, they're going to be a force. UCLA, they're good enough to win it all. So even though they're not going to get many teams in the tournament, they're going to have two really strong teams in it.
Quality, not quantity.
Yep.
There it is. All right, gentlemen. Have a great evening.
When
we'll
I saw Alabama number one, I thought I was on drugs. I said, what the hell?
Hey, I know we haven't gotten to the NBA mock draft, but Brandon Miller from Alabama, that dude is a player. 6'9", can shoot it, can get to the rack. He's a freshman. Man, he's a player. He's going to be right up there in the top 4 or 5 in the draft. So, yeah, if you watch Alabama, he's a baller.
Good stuff.
Yeah, but
Alabama is
number one. Houston's back in number one now, though. But how Alabama get ranked in number one in college basketball, man?
Yeah, what's going on there?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good evening. We'll talk next week. Yes.
All right, gentlemen.
Wednesday.
Good night, gentlemen.
All right, y'all.
Peace.